Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and you're stuck with me for the next couple of hours, but we're going to talk cars, and you're more than welcome to come and talk cars with us. It's easy, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we've got folks in the studio today that is Bob and Ellen Frisbee from Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue and Indian School, that have been around. I think, Bob, didn't you weren't one of the first guys in the Easter issue with the hiding of the eggs 150 years ago?
Just a little before that.
Okay, all right, I understand. But what, with Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
And Bob's here, and I'm here, and Ellen's here.
Hello.
And we're all here to help you out. I'm going to tell on my son real quick. The girls told Alan to clean up the ladies' bathroom in the upstairs next to the radio studio. He was supposed to do that before he left last night because he has a key to it, which aggravates the girls. So this morning, I see him running upstairs with this big fuzzy brush. And I go, what's the matter? What are you doing? He goes, oh, I forgot to clean the bathroom for Ellen. Ellen's coming. And I says, you got to be kidding. I says, the girls, I thought they locked you out. He goes, no. He says, they locked me out of your bathroom, which is in my office, which is the girls use that too. So anyway, he's in there scrubbing the toilet before Ellen gets here. To make sure.
Tell them thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Well, the girls are on top of it. Andy and Renee were really mad at him, but aside from all of that. So it's easy to call, 602-508-0960. It starts off with, this is what my car's doing, or this is what I'm told, or this is what I'm told I need, on those kinds of issues, which are ones that are typically the ones that we're trying to sell you stuff. You guys, I've said lately a lot that in the old days we did oil changes at 3,000 miles and your motor and transmission typically didn't last much longer than 100, and we were doing lots of fluids at 30s, and today it's completely different.
Oh, total difference.
It's 100,000 for a lot of the fluids and spark plugs and a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so now we have 10,000 mile oil changes. So we're not going to see you every 3,000 miles. We're going to see you every 10,000 miles. And all the owner's manual says is just change your oil and check everything.
Yeah, the biggest problem is not being able to look at these cars for maintenance things that could come up in between that scheduled maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it a little bit tough. So we have a couple programs that we've used for safety maintenance and so on, that we could get them in and take a look at it.
Okay.
In between those areas.
And Jeremy, what do you guys do when you do an oil change? I mean, you can just rattle off what you do. Just give it to us.
Well, yeah, when you do an oil change, you're looking at all your basic, you know, components that wear out. You got belts that need to be looked at, all your fluids. When you change the oil, you check and top off, and you can get a pretty good idea of how well it's been maintained, if it's going to need attention in the future. And then when you have it in the air, we always look over everything underneath the car, you know, see if you got an oil leak. Because with these oil changes that go this far mileage-wise, what you'll have is sometimes they'll be leaking and nobody checks the oil in between those oil changes. And so you'll have, you know, really low oil when you come in. And that leads to a lot of different check engine lights. I've had misfires all the time because all these variable valve timing solenoids mm-hmm. don't seem to work right when the oil starts getting aerated and different things like that.
So let me decipher what he's saying. The oil pressure, when it goes low, it gets foamy.
Right.
And then the foam doesn't hold pressure as well as liquid oil does. And so when we aerate it, we have half air, and it creates all kinds of drivability problems and check engine lights.
Right.
That's what bothers me. You've hit the nail on the head. That's what we should be doing. But what really bothers me is that I'm seeing lots of people call me or send me paperwork where they went into a shop for an oil change. And here's what I'm seeing. A premium oil change. A premium oil change with a 3,000-mile call with a 3,000-mile door sticker. So if the oil change is 100... Let's go from 90 to 130, 140, which is what a synthetic is. Ellen, what's a synthetic?
Yeah, it's for you. We go about 10,000. You can go 8 to 10,000 miles for us.
Okay.
And the blend is more like 6. You know, so
perfect. That's perfect. But what does the cost of the premium, the big dog?
Oh my gosh! Well, it depends on how many quarts of oil. Oil filter could be almost $71 to $82.
On the short side, some of the diesels obviously are 10.
Yeah,
a lot more.
120.
And that's what's happening is I see paperwork that shows that the shop is selling them the top dog oil, but changing it, calling them back at $3,000 for an oil change.
Yeah.
And that's, in my opinion, I don't think that that's the right thing to do.
What we've seen is that they're prematurely doing a lot of the maintenance too soon.
Yes.
And they come out with a $1,000, $2,000 bill, which it's not even called for in our program. So
it's not even called for in their manual.
Yeah.
And but then, Ellen, gosh darn it, this is Arizona. We're different here.
Yeah, I don't think we go for that. But we have an 8x10 sheet of paper that we give to the techs, and they have a list of things they check when they come in,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we check off: their hoses, the belts, all the different things, all the fluids, and
the tires and the brakes. And
I
still will say, though, by far, we have a lot more going way over the sticker than we do coming in, even with the full synthetic, it seems like.
You're right, and what we're finding is even though we're putting 8 or 10 on their door sticker, and you do the reset of the maintenance light, the maintenance light doesn't necessarily match the speedometer either, and it's an algorithm based on how many times the oil's got hot and cold and how many cold starts and hot starts and all that stuff. So we're turning, some of the people are having the light come on before the sticker calls for a return. And some of the people say, no, the sticker's first. So what do you tell people? If are they going to follow the maintenance light?
We tell them to go by what we put on the windshield. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be honest, though, that the algorithm that they use, because I know on my Escalade, I've calculated it out, and it comes out, you know, when the oil life gets to about 5-10%, it's right around 5,000 miles.
Okay.
And my wife that drives that every day only drives short distances. It's cold starts, and then you're driving, and it's shut off. So all that stuff does come into account when they figure the percentage left. But
I'm going to argue with you. She's a prime example of the 5,000 because we're keeping track of heat cycles, and she's driving short distances. She's not boiling the water out of the oil. So she's got water in the oil because we don't see the Payson trip. We don't see the Flagstaff trip in July. We don't see a full heat cycle. And then her short drives, all she does is go to the liquor store and back, you know? and when you look at that, the algorithm, there are people out there, and I'm one of them, where the 10,000-mile sticker will come on before the algorithm will hit, and I make sure... And as you can imagine, I'm pretty stiff about, you better reset my oil maintenance light. But I'm running Payson and back.
Yeah.
And so I'm running wide open all the time. And so there's no problem with mine, but the 5,000 mile, and I'm teasing you about the liquor store, but and going back and forth, whatever you're doing is,
well,
that's the...
Don't we reset it?
We reset it
because they're not due, and we tell them to go by the windshield because we have a sticker that's up there and said that's it. But they think when they see it on their dash, they need to come in and get it changed, you know?
That's something we can't fix.
Yeah.
You know, we've tried, but it's really whichever comes first.
Yeah.
If the light comes on first, come on back in. But don't go past our sticker is kind of the answer is don't go past the sticker. So we're in that. But what I'm also seeing, and I'm going to ask you if you see it, is they go in for the 995 oil change or the free tire rotation, and then all of a sudden they're given a laundry list of just thousands of dollars of work that needs to be done. And I'm seeing a lot of control arm bushings, and I'm seeing a lot of front end work, and I'm seeing lots of oil leaks. My thing is if you've got an oil leak that's bad enough to fix, it better be shown on the rear bumper. If it's a bad one, we're going to have oil spots on the rear bumper.
How often do we see that, Bob? We do that all the time for everybody.
See, that's it.
Yeah.
If that's the good one.
Yeah.
And when you go underneath there, you just follow the leak to the forward. You find it. Well, you know exactly where the leak's coming from. So, but if it's not dropping the ground and you've got 100,000 miles, and statistically, the engines are well past 100,000 miles for life. Unless you overheat them or run on low on oil, they're going to last a lot more than 100,000 miles. we've got engines out there that are 300,000 and 400,000 miles in construction trucks. The trucks themselves have disintegrated around the motor, but the motor's still running.
Yeah.
What about our big, well, the fleets, you know who I'm talking about, that they drive in about 500, 600, as long as they move and they work, they don't care. It's cheaper to fix what you have, and we keep them on the road. That's... And I don't know if I should say who it is. But
no, don't say who it is.
No.
Because you're not going to get in trouble. I am.
No, I won't. But no, but they fix it. They trust us, you know, and they keep it going. It's cheaper.
Okay, so anybody pop up, what's the sales tax on a $40,000 Escalade?
Oh, my goodness, I couldn't do that in my head. Carrie, get out your calculator.
If it's 10%.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's 10%, it's $4,000. Well, license plates, sales tax,
and
all that stuff, you can do a lot of repairs for just the sales tax of a new vehicle.
And I tell them that.
And I use that, too. If you want a new vehicle, and I don't argue with the women. You know what I mean? Talk to your husband, okay? I'm not your husband. But in reality, it's a matter of, there's people that come in that have the eco diesels that they got the intake plugged up solid with carbon.
Oh, yeah.
And we're seeing those on a daily basis. And we can't get them to run them like they stole them. We just
get them on the highway,
yeah,
wide open a little bit.
And we got one from a construction company that does nothing but drive around and check job sites. And we're doing two of those intake manifolds on a 100,000-mile call.
Wow.
So it's stop and go and stop and go and stop and go. So we have those prominently displayed downstairs of the worst one we've seen, and then a new one. So people have an idea of, this is why you probably need to drive it a little harder, a little longer, a little faster.
So let me ask you, what do you recommend when you have customers that don't drive very many miles as a time frame? Because I know I just had this conversation with my mother about the minimum amount of time before, you know, maximum amount of time you go before you do need an oil change, regardless of the mileage you put on it.
That's easy.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to answer you because we're up against the break, and we're going to bring them back. You'll give you a chance to get your thoughts together, and me too. But I do have an answer, and as you know, I've been trained by Chevron and Valvoline about oil. And so they won't say this in their marketing strategy, but it makes a lot of sense. So when it comes to how many retired people put 3,000, 5,000, 8,000 a year, how do you handle their oil change calls? That's the question. Right?
Right.
Okay. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. If you have any questions yet, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Gil's the one that answers the phone. Be nice to him. He's never in a bad mood until somebody challenges him, and then you hear a dial tone, and no one in the studio is going to care. We'll be right back. Okie dokie, 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're talking about cars and car repair issues. I want to talk real quick about Automatic Transmission Exchange. They're at 40th Street in Washington. Phil and Barney Rubble are friends. That's how long Phil's been working on transmissions, since 1968, and his guys are really good, and they'll drive your car and they'll talk to you, but just keep in mind that Monday mornings and Friday afternoons are kind of tough. So the transmission shop that I recommend in the city of Phoenix is Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, and they've been around a long time, and I know Phil knows what he's talking about. Real quick, we're going to talk about the special people, okay? And here's my answer to you, and I think we're going to be aligned on this. Conventional oil is 3,000 to 5,000 miles. That's all it's good for. It's always been good for. Semi-synthetic, depending on the amount of blend, is 7,500 to 10, and synthetic is 10 north. So we have lots of people in Mountain Park Ranch and Ahwatukee in our area that are 3,000 miles a year, 4,000 miles a year. I bring them in April, the beginning of the summer, and change their oil once a year. That's right. It. And I use the cheap oil, not the cheap oil, the conventional oil, the one that Bob was raised on.
Right.
The one when who was the guy that came up? Christopher Columbus came across the ocean? So a semi-synthetic will carry them up north of that 3 to 5. So for between 5 and 7,500 a year, I still do the same thing, but I use a blended oil. How close am I to what you're doing?
Right. Well, that was what I was going to say, is once a year. And it started with a conversation I had with my mother about, you know, she's less, maybe 1,000 a year, I think, that she drives it. But I said, no matter what, once a year, you need to have it brought in, everything changed, regardless of the mileage. And, you know, just kind of looked over at least once a year. Even if you're not getting your oil change, I think you need at least before trips, you know, you need to bring it in, look over some of the things that just systematically wear out, check your bulbs and your tires and just, you know, make sure everything is.
It's the inspection.
Right.
It's the inspection. It's not the oil and the filter. Mom, I need to check your tires, your belts, your hoses, your fluids. I need to look for things. I look for nails in your tires. I want to look to see if your fluids are all full and clean. I want to make sure you've got windshield washer fluid. All of that stuff.
Right.
So I want to prepare you for the next 3,000 miles or whatever. So that, I mean, it's real simple to say, but it's more, fluids, filters, tires, and look it over. It's really more than that. Every square foot of the car we're looking at, or we should be looking at, for problem areas.
Right. I just had this conversation with my, I got two daughters that are just starting to drive now, too. And when you talked about the washer fluid, you know, most places it'll fill your washer fluid, it's got a summer blend, and then you got for cold country that doesn't freeze. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times you've been replacing cracked washer bottles. Some of those are pricey and everything. So every time it gets cold, you know, I was explaining to my children that you got to have it looked at, have everything kind of winterized and gone through at a minimum, you know, just because you can cost yourself a lot more money. Some of these cars, you wouldn't believe how expensive it is just to replace that washer bottle. The fender liners have to come out. You have a tremendous amount of cost.
They don't have boyfriends that you can start training and shovel that out. Oh, wait a minute, they're 8 and 10 years old. Never mind. But no, really. But I agree with you. It's really a matter. It's the look over. People take their dogs in once a year to have the vet looked at them. Why can't we look at your car once a year? And the dog, the worst that's going to happen is he's going to poop in your car. The car, you're going to need a tow truck and the motor's going to go out or whatever. I mean, I don't want to scare tactic, but there's things that we could probably look at and find. Let's get to the phones. Bob, you're up first. What can we do for you today?
Morning.
Good morning.
If people buy a new car, you think it's best to change the oil, like 3,000 or 4,000, even if you're using synthetic, or just let it go to the oil monitor for the first oil change?
I think what you're thinking is that it's the old adage that the wear of the engine is going to occur in the first 5,000 to 10,000 miles, and so the oil is going to be filled with metal filings and smoothed off and polished metal stuff, and it's better to get all that out. But my response to that is that's what the filter's for, and so and because synthetic oil is approaching. You guys were $80, $90 mm-hmm. on the synthetic side. Yes. There are shops out there that are $140, $150 for the same oil change. Mm-hmm. And it's okay with me. I'm not the oil change guy. But the answer is I'm not a real big fan of changing synthetic oil early. I like to just run it out there to the 10 or annual mark is what I like.
Also, when you have a brand new engine, when you've changed oil on really new engines opposed to engines that have more miles on them, you kind of notice as soon as you pull that drain plug, the oil is much cleaner. You have less blow by, you have less contaminants that get into it, and so that all comes into consideration with those oil monitors too. So I would agree with Mark that it I would probably not change it sooner. He is right though. You do on a brand new engine, there are certain, you know, filings and casting flaws that get kind of flaked off, and that's why I know a lot of people that do say after you've done like a brand new engine rebuild, you want to change it, like some people say, within 1,000 miles, just to kind of get all those out. But really, you're not going to get anything through the filter. If it comes up through the pump, it's already gone through where it's going to go through. So
it's not going to end up in a bearing. It came from a bearing, but it's not going to go back to the bearing because it can't get through the filter. And so in reality, that's it. But, Bob, thank you. That's a great question. Marty, you're up next. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. Love the show.
Thank you.
I was listening a couple of weeks back, and I kind of a little heated exchange, and somebody got called a witch or something. I'm not really sure, but I enjoyed the humor. And I didn't really realize my ex-wife was a fan of the show. So my question is...
Oh, you know what? That's really nice. Gil, do we have caller ID on Marty?
I do not know.
Good. Then hang on to that number, would you, for me, please? Because I don't know where he's going with this rap. But if he's going to start throwing people underneath the bus, I'm better at that than that. But, Marty, go right ahead. What is your car question, Marty?
My question is in relationship to the flat rate that you get charged when you bring your car into the shop. I know different shops have a different hourly rate, and then they use the flat rate book to, you know, that determines what the repairs should cost. Mm-hmm. So could you explain how they calculate that and where those numbers come from?
The numbers come from some data bank that provides that number. But let me just take the other side and just kind of end this argument real quick. Get your calculator out.
You got it.
All right. I want you to take 10 guys and 8 hours, that's 80 hours, times my $100 labor rate. I'm going to make it easy for you. So what's that number?
It's $8,000.
$8,000. And then I want you to times that by 2, and then I want you to times it by 20. Because I'm going to add parts, because parts are 50%, 50, usually it's 50-50 on the tickets.
That's $320,000.
$1 a year, yeah. Or a month.
A month.
That's a month. So to answer your question, Marty, the flat rate is a loser for us, but it is a number that's out there in Never Never Land that says that a normal technician with normal skills and normal tools will perform this job, and in order for us to bid the job, you want a number, so we're going to give you that number. But I'm telling you right now, Salem doesn't do $300,000 a month in parts and labor, and half of that would be labor. So that doesn't include the technician bringing the car in, lifting the hood, doing his diagnostic, which is oftentimes a separate charge. But then when he starts doing the water pump and all that other kind of stuff, the gasket scraping, and maybe one of the bolts, his head's broke off, so he has to get his stud remover and get that out. It's just not something that it's a moneymaker for us. I don't know, Bob, Ellen, do you guys make 100%?
No, this conversation way back when I began in this business. And that goes back a couple years.
Did they even have cars back then? I'm teasing, yeah.
I think horses on the front of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, a customer asked me that question.
I'm going to hold you to it because we're 10 seconds from the break. Marty, I'm going to answer your message, but I'm going to do it in about 3 minutes. We'll be right back. Morning, 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. Ellen and Jeremy and Bob are here from Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Jeremy was born day before yesterday. He's kind of young compared to me and Bob, but between the three of us, we have a good chance of guessing whatever you might need to know. It's not a good idea today, because Mark's in a bad mood, to start off with Google said, and I want to remind people that Google is a guy named Laron who's in a penitentiary in Vermont, and he's telling everybody how to fix their cars, and he really has no chance of doing that. So when you Google, you're getting a whole bunch of people that don't know anything. And I don't know about you, Jeremy, but do you spend a lot of time in that kind of environment? Because I do, for the humor of it.
For some humor, actually, a couple times, but in my professional experience, that's probably the last thing that I would go to, just because it will waste so much more of your time. And logically, when you start looking at where they're sending you on some of these things, that you'll see people say, "Oh yeah, this fixed it," and you're like, "Why would you even check that?" You know, I mean, that's just wasting hours of time.
Well, John Googles it, but then Fred answers it, but Fred had done a better job and been Googling it, and he found an answer over here that he passes to John that he says that came from Jesus Christ himself. And so you have all of this terrain, and they come in and they want us to change the antenna motor because their check engine light's on. And it's difficult at best for us to be letting people that we've never met before dictate the repair. What we say, and it doesn't happen too often, we just say, you're allowed to dictate the repair, and we'll do exactly what you want us to do at $125 an hour. And that's I want to warn you, your success rate is slim and none. So if you just let us do it, we do a better job, because the car's in front of us. The guy on Google can't test fuel pressure. He can't look at O2 sensors. He can't look at CO and HC and stuff like that. Do you still use a 5-gas analyzer?
I do.
Yeah, so do we. Bob, you need to finish up.
On the discussion of flat rate.
Yeah.
Way back in the beginning of time, when I think we were at about $6 an hour flat rate at that time, but I had a gentleman want a price on something, and I gave him a price on it, and he said, "Well, how did you determine that?" And I says, "Well, we have a manual that gives us a general idea of how much time it takes to do something." And so we did the job, and the guy says, "Well, you know, that took less time. So why are you charging me for the time that, you know, extra time?" I says, well, here's what I have, the conclusion I have come to. I said, I had a mechanic one time that he's would go to work. I'd give him a job, and he'd go to work on it. And the problem was, do you want somebody to say, okay, it's going to cost you $100 to do this particular job, and then he gets it done in less time? And or do you want somebody that says, okay, I'm only going to get paid by the hour, and it only says an hour to do the job, but I think I'll just take 6 hours to do this job. I can drag my feet that long. So I make money. So which is better? The guy that's being told you got a certain amount of time to get something done. He does it efficiently. He buys X amount of dollars in tools, which is not cheap by today's standards, to get that job done quicker so that he can make more money.
And you're right. We're the synopsis of that is we're looking at a manual that was written by people that don't have a dog in this fight. They're telling us this job should be 1.2 hours. So you'd rather have the technician determine that by himself?
Yeah.
Would you just want me to turn him loose on that? Or would you rather me nail it down say, and well, say to him 1.2?
Hey, I only got two cars in the parking lot. I think I'll just take all day on this job.
Yeah. And you're right. That happened. I don't know that happens too much now, but it sure did happen when you and I didn't have gray hair. Yeah. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Blackwell Automotive's up at 40th and Greenway. He doesn't really know anything about cars, God bless him. He's hit his head so many different times, and he's surrounded by women who just protect him from the elements and feed him the answers. But if you live up in the northeast area of Scottsdale and you're looking for a good car shop, then Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway is a good place. Tom is his name. He works on all kinds of cars and trucks and diesels and motorhomes, but right now he's into the vintage stuff, and he's really enjoying that. So if you have a vintage car and you wanted somebody to look at it to perhaps put air conditioning in it, factory air conditioning or something like that, then Tom would also be a good guy for that. But I talked to him not too long ago, within the last 3 or 4 days, and right now he's not taking any vintage stuff in for the next 2 months because he's that full up with vintage. But he's got a vintage side, then he has a general side, and he's working on both sides of those. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The hardest part of owning the shop is being in the middle between all the people that are trying to tug on your Superman cape. You got the parts stores that want your business, but they promise you a price structure that you're unable to verify. So sometimes you get this and sometimes you get that, but you're bidding on something, a number that you got, but it doesn't really represent a parts margin. So sometimes you sell a water pump for 10 cents or 10% higher, when in reality you thought that the parts vendor would have sold it to you at something else.
Right.
So you have that dichotomy going on, and then you've got the technician. And cell phones have created a whole new problem, because they're on the phone a lot with their wives and their kids and their mothers, and then their friends are calling them asking them how to fix their cars. And we've got to the point now where we're just real close to just taking the privileges of cell phones away. Just park your phone in your locker and leave it there. On the other hand, it's still this. You're asking me how much I'm going to charge you, and I have to have something to hang my hat on. And the only thing I can hang my hat on is the labor manual that I subscribe to, and it's by people who have done a good job in getting damn close on what it's going to take. What's not there is the diagnostic part. So to take the water pump off and put a new one on, put coolant in it, pressure test it, and go drive it is X. But the diagnosis to pressure test it and find the leak and find out it's not the timing cover, but it's the weep hole at the bottom of the water pump, is altogether different. Mm-hmm. So it's different if it's different. But the bottom line is wouldn't we be rich or be beyond belief if we actually got $125 an hour for each one of the technicians we have?
Use a stopwatch and
That isn't going to happen. That's not going to happen.
You know, parts are also an issue. We get so many questions on, hey, I can get a water pump for $20. Why are you charging me $150?
Yeah.
And we're finding more and more of these aftermarket parts are just not holding up.
We can talk about that. We're going to take a break real quick, and we're going to talk about that. There's a whole lot of aftermarket parts off the shore of the West Coast right now. And I was talking to a guy named Wayne who buys parts, and he says we have millions of dollars worth of parts sitting offshore right now that can't come in and I'll tell you what he says is going on right now. But you're right, there is an issue with quality, and it's wider now than it ever has been before. Yeah. So what we used to have was we used to have good, a little bit less, a little bit more, but right now we have good and really bad.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Forty-five minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Mark Salem here with the entire gang of Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, Jeremy, Bob, and Ellen. Ellen's at the front counter, and you're not going to get past her to the boys, and that's her job. And then you got Jeremy in the shop, and Bob's in the shop. And between the two of them, they fix just about everything I've ever sent their way, because geographically they're in that area, or the customer's in that area. And I just remember, and I tell the story over and over again about the $1,000-$2,000 BMW needed major work, and it had a drain plugged up in the evaporator case.
Oh, the heater core.
The heater core, and I don't remember what it was, but it was $1,000 or so for a heater core, and you found that the condensation drain in the evaporator case was plugged, and so you blew it out. All this ugly water came out all over Bob, and he used bad words. And that was it. You fixed it, then you billed them for that, and they were pretty happy. So I'm proud of the stuff that you guys have pulled, you know, like rabbits out of your hats and stuff. Let me talk real quick about another shop that's a ways away from you. Kurt's Auto is I-17 and Bell Road in Phoenix. He's been around, and him the same way. I remember the best story I've got is the lady's been told twice she needs a motor, and she took it to Kurt's, and he put an oil pressure switch in it and turned off the red light. And the motor has lived for years and years after that. So not everybody in our industry is crooked, and not everybody in our industry is good. But the guys I talk about, I promise you, they're the best I could find. Let's go to Don. Don, good morning. Don, you better get on the radio, Don, or I'm going to hunt you down and pull you out of your tow truck and run over.
Trying to wake me up, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Tires for my motorhome.
Okay.
I turn the radio down. And BFGs, are they made, they were told they're made by Toyo?
No.
No?
No. It's true that there's, you know, three or four manufacturers that make everybody's tires. You've already thrown a name out there that I'm not going to acknowledge. But I think if I can change it, Mark, what kind of tire do you have on your big truck, your semi? What kind of tires do you have on your one ton that you haul the horse trailers around with? And the answer to your question is everything in my entire family is Toyos.
Toyo.
Yeah. Now, these are Toyos that are made in Atlanta, Georgia. These are Toyos
right.
that are American workers and all that other jazz. But
got
we
them on the back of my tow truck.
Yeah. It's just a matter of that the service and people have just made it an outstanding tire for us. Plus, we can be real competitive. So, if you're going to use your motorhome tire, do you have any favors from Alan, my son?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I can dig up some kind of a coupon for you or something like that if you. But
well,
if you,
I'm getting them at wholesale too.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's,
okay.
That was my biggest thing. But I'm just wondering how they're going to stand up.
We,
you know, because the tires that are on there are 2012, and I'm going, no, we don't go on the road with this stuff.
2012, so it's 9 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, the 10-year isn't a line in the sand, but it's one that we should pay attention to, and so I agree that you need to start looking at tires, but if all you're going to do is drive up to Flagstaff or you're going to go down to Bisbee or take some relatives down there and stuff like that, you're going to roll the dice with new ones as well as the ones you got on there. So,
well, that is very true, yes.
Yeah.
I'd rather have later models to have more security, let's put it that way.
Well, but here's another thing is you're not going to get a tire that's popping fresh that popped out of the mold day before yesterday either. The tire is going to, it's going to take 6 months to get to you.
Right.
And so, yeah, the 10 years is a pretty important thing right now, but it just depends. You know, if your wife is still drinking and you're going to let her drive, I'd probably put new tires on it.
My wife don't drive anymore.
Because she's drinking?
No, it's her dementia. That's
okay. Okay, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Don, I'm going to say goodbye to you before we get into a lot of trouble, and we're going to go to Bill. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Like your show, I recently got a 2009 GMC Duramax, and I don't know if they had bigger tires out of the four, but my speedometer is off about 10 miles an hour. How do I get it fixed, and where do I take it?
Well, the first thing
I'm done 80, and I had my wife go alongside me on the freeway, and I had her get up to 80 miles, and I was up at 80, and she was only at 70.
Okay. The first thing you want to do is there's a door sticker on the door, on the driver's door, that tells you what tires are supposed to be on that. And so in your particular case on your Duramax, what are you thinking? 18s are on that? I don't know.
I think but 17s are on there right now.
Okay, okay. So you look at the sticker and you see what the difference is between what you've got on the sticker and what you've got on the ground. And I'll tell you, what part of town do you live in?
Way, way northwest.
Okay.
I mean, up by Lake Pleasant.
Okay. Are you ever in town?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. Any discount tire can help you. Just go to a discount tire and just say, Mark Salem said that you would look at what my tires are supposed to be and what I have, and you have the ability to give me a piece of paper that shows me the spread in the odometer, speedometer.
And, well, yeah, but I want to get it fixed.
Well, sure. First thing we need to do is we need to make sure. So that's the first step. The first step of doing all of this is making sure that what you got on is what you're supposed to have on. And so, okay. But I mean, it. I don't know that you need to spend a whole bunch of money because we don't know if your wife's car was on, off, or I mean, you need to do the same with her tires. But on your phone,
they told me when I bought it that was off.
Okay,
so well, I knew that going out.
Okay, in the worst case scenario, somebody went in to the ABS module on your car and changed the diameter of the tires. And if that's the case, then most of us gray-haired guys know how to go back and put that the way it should have been. And that's probably going to cost you somewhere under $100.
And who would I go to?
Just send me an email and tell me, you know, if you're in the Northwest, I'll call a couple of guys and see if they have the ability to do it. You guys change the ABS modules, so Jeremy at Harker's can do it, and I know that we can do it down in South Tempe.
Yeah, that's a programming function.
Tempe is an air flight for me.
Well, I know, but my offer was is send me an email, and then I'll see if I can find somebody up in that northwest quadrant up there to help you. But I want to tell you something. This is something that can go from bad to worse if you got the wrong guy pushing the buttons on the scanner or on the program.
Oh, right.
And
I assume anybody you give me is going to be good. So
no, that isn't always the case. I wish it were. I mean, I there's times I've made bad referrals and I've ended up paying for it. But another thing I'd like you to do is take your phone and just get, I think everybody has a speed app on their phone, and just put it up on the dashboard and just go drive it. And let's see what the speed app says. The one I use is called Speedbox, and it's a free app. So you download the app, and I use it. And I have changed my ABS module perfectly where I'm within a third of a mile mile an hour. So I'm constantly changing the diameter of the tire. What's that?
Oh. Well, I'm talking to you on a flip phone, Mark, so...
Okay, well now, so far you live out in BFE, okay? And number two, you got a flip phone. So, okay, we're already in problem. We already probably got a problem here, Bill.
Sounds like my age.
Yeah. Bob's willing to come to your house, Bill.
He can come to our shop. Tell him to come to our shop.
Yeah, 38th Avenue and Indian School, you can go.
That's closer than Tempe.
Yeah, yeah, 38th Avenue and Indian School, Harker's Automotive.
You don't have to take a flight to get there.
Yeah. But do pack your lunch.
What's the name of it?
Harker's. Mm-hmm. Harker's.
Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Larry Harker's Auto Repair.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Okay, hey, listen. You're going to tell him that you have 100% coupon off from Mark Salem,
Okay? So that's what you tell them. And then just email me and I'll send you a fake one. Okay? So between you and me.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Bill. Oh, it took me, I had to synchronize my programmer and my speedometer and my ABS module. And I was changing tire diameter and circumference by quarters and halves of an inch.
Oh, wow.
It took me for, but I'm a perfectionist, so I want it to be exactly right. So I want all three of them to have the same speed, including my phone.
Did you do the measurement where you take the tape and then you go the exact rolling diameter of the tire? And there is a calculator that I've used. That
no, it's diameter times pi. 2.14. And no, but you're right. And inflation does make a difference, as you well know, because the circumference is bigger the higher the inflation. So no, you're absolutely right. But Alan has a program. Now, there was a guy named John Dawes. God bless him. He passed away a while ago. Him and I were good friends, and he was a Michelin dog that knew more about tires than any 10 guys I know. And he built us a program because Alan's doing upgrades on tires.
Right.
So Alan actually punches in the old tire and the new tire, and he does the speed analysis, miles analysis, and all that kind of stuff. And oftentimes, as you well know, we can change that tire size and diameter with respect to the. Now they're only going to ask you for one or the other, the diameter or the circumference.
Right. There is a limit too. I know a lot of guys that put real big tires like have trouble getting it to come back into range because. The factory stuff can only go to a certain size before you have to start doing some other modifications.
You're absolutely right. One guy said to us, well, then just put it at half. And I go, okay, so now we're going to start. Well, and I said, so your odometer is going to be off too. Okay, so if we go up or if we go down, you're either going to be way too many mileage or you're going to be lying about the mileage. So well, here's what's really important is you need to do that yourself because I'm not doing that. We'll get it close and get it right, but as far as changing it to adapt it because you've got monster tires on there, it's not going to work. So that's the difficult thing. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Do you know why I hesitated? Because I'm constantly giving my cell phone out. and so I have to look at the page because, and Gil will say, you just gave your cell phone out again.
That could be interesting.
Oh, gosh darn. That's the most important phone number in my whole life. And I fear that someday that will get out and Gil won't cover for me. So, but let's talk about Action Auto Repair. Action Auto Repair is up at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom and I have been friends since 1983. And Tom was working for an equipment manufacturer, and I bought an engine analyzer from Tom, and he demonstrated it and made it dance in a way that I would have liked to have had him to come to work for me. But ultimately, he ended up in his own shop on I-17 in Deer Valley. So if you're up in that area, Action Auto Repair is a good shop. He has ASE-certified technicians, and I'm here to tell you that Tom will treat you fairly. He's not one of those take advantage of you every single time you come in. It's all about just good service, good product, and fair pricing. So that's Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. We're going to be back for another hour of fun and frivolity with the crew at Larry Harker's Auto, Bob and Ellen, husband and wife, Jeremy. I don't know where he comes in, but I think he's the son-in-law or the son, or they found him on the side of the road, or I'm not really quite sure where he came from. But he is a damn good technician. There's no question about that. And there's been times I've had to call him and ask for my wife how to fix a car, and he's obliged us. But unfortunately, he's not going to be able to do that for you. So we'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. The lines are wide open. If you'd like to call us, if you'd like to join us, you can. It's real easy, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, we're really good, Bob and I are, at settling disputes between husbands and wives. And it really doesn't have to just be cars. It can be anything to do with married. You're not giving me a really good look there. You're not wanting any part of that thing?
I think I'll go the other direction here.
Okay. I like to hear it.
So it's me and Ellen doing marriage counseling for people now? Is that right now?
I'd like to live to see another day.
Okay. All right. That'll be fine. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. And we're pretty good with doing those kinds of questions with respect to,
what people do and what they don't do. I think what bothers me the most is that a lot of people just don't believe the manual is a book that they should know anything about. And when you ask, if you ask someone when I change my transmission fluid, you're going to get, on the average, if you ask five people, would you agree, Jeremy, that you're going to get five different answers?
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're all going to give an answer based on perhaps what their dad did or what they heard about or what they think about or what the garage told them the last time.
Right.
And what I'm seeing, Jeremy, is that because the car may come in only one time a year, all of a sudden we're doing some really fancy looking into the future. Lower control arm bushings at 30,000 miles with no tire wear and no vibrations and nothing like that. We're looking at what drives me the crazy, it just drives me crazy, is leaking, seeping, weeping. When do we spend money on a leaking, seeping, and weeping? You know?
Or sweating.
Or sweat. Yeah. That's another good one. That's another. Oh, yeah. There's. It's clearly. I want to see the oil hit the ground. That's what I want to see. I want to see it on the rear bumper. I want to see it underneath the car if I'm going to do anything. But long before I'm going to do that, I'm going to probably put a PCV valve in it, check the breather, and maybe put some fresh oil in it. Bob, do you remember any old tricks that we used to use in the 60s and 70s to fix oil leaks?
I can tell you the one I did for my wife's car when we first got married.
Okay.
Will that work?
Okay, yeah.
When we first got married, I bought I had three things that I needed to do before I got married. I needed to own a home.
Okay.
I needed a nice car.
Her dad said this?
No, that was my priority.
Oh, I was going to say, these her dad's already telling you what to do? All right, go ahead.
No, these are my priorities.
Okay.
So, I had a house, and I had a nice car. Well, we got married. Well, the car that I had was a 68 GTO.
Okay.
Nice car. Well, what I found out when I got married was that I inherited a 60 Mercury Montclair that smoked like a three-alarm fire, burnt more oil than you can shake a stick at. And the way we saved the oil on it is we put a coffee can underneath the road drag tube and collect the oil as it would run out of the engine, and I'd pour it back into the engine. Well, I ended up driving that car. My wife got the GTO.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was part of it, but it worked out.
Is it the first wife got the GTO or the second wife got the GTO? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, the first and only.
Hey, okay. Wait a minute. I didn't use much gas, so.
No, that's true.
We're not talking about gas, Alan.
Oh, okay? I know. I used more oil when I went to the gas station. I used more oil than gas.
The gas was 32 cents a gallon. So, you know.
Alan, we're not talking about gas. We're not taking to that side trip. Okay, go ahead,
so,
Bob.
Anyway, the PC system on the old Mercury Montclair was a coffee can under a road draft tube.
Mm-hmm.
But today's crankcase ventilation system now has to work properly, or you're going to create, you know, a compression or pressure inside the engine is going to pop the seals.
Okay.
So that needs to be working properly to work.
Jeremy, I can tell you how to fix any oil leak you want.
Oh, okay.
Without taking anything apart.
Put direct vacuum to the intake.
you get another car next to it, and you run a vacuum line, a 3/8 vacuum line, from the big port at the back of the intake manifold of this gas motor to the dipstick tube of the other one. Okay, that's step one. But you can't have any oil in the other one because you're going to suck all the oil out of it and put it in the first one. So you're going to just put a vacuum on the engine, and you've already taped over all the valve cover vents and the fillers.
Okay.
So now we're pulling a vacuum. Now you take a 3 or 4 foot piece of 3/8 fuel line, and you stick it in your ear, and you start waving it around the corners of the intake manifold and the corners and the rear mains and all that kind of stuff. And once you hear the of the vacuum, then you clean it with brake clean, real good, and you wipe it all down and blow it dry, and then you just take a dab of silicone on your finger and stick it in the hole and let the vacuum suck it in, and you're done. I want to tell you, the first time we did that, it was on the corner of a 302 Ford on the front oil pan hoop around the front end.
Yeah.
Okay? And I had told them guys, this is what I heard, and you guys try it out.
They use two full cock guns of silicone. They pump silicone in there until there was none. There wasn't any silicone at the Home Depot. And so we ended up pulling the pan off. And, of course, as you can imagine, it was two giant glasses of silicone that hadn't sealed, hadn't done anything. And we never used that again. But the idea of it sounded pretty attractive. I think we could have done it right if we could have. But I think for whatever reason, that was
too
our first.
Too big of a leak. Yeah.
Yeah, way too big of a leak. So I think that was somebody's on the phone. Gil, do you have somebody?
Yes, we do. We have Sam.
Sam, good morning. How can we help you? What have you got to contribute, buddy?
Oh, I don't know. I can't top any of that. But I do have a 65 Chevy El Camino that I want to know about the AC on it. It came with factory air, and I've replaced. I put a new dryer, I put new condenser and new compressor, new hoses. And that's as far as I've got. I just want to know, is there a diagnostic or how would I go about getting this thing fixed where it would work?
Okay.
Is there a fee? Yeah.
All right. Jeremy and I are going to talk about this. There's a good chance we didn't have the opportunity to measure the oil in any of those components.
Well, I'm assuming you're going back to the factory R12 unit that came in that vehicle, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I know that the R134 runs higher pressure, and I probably should go with the R12, but I know it's like $8 a gram or something.
Yeah, you're right. Jeremy, what would you do if this was your 65 El Camino? What would you put, 134, or would you put the 12 in it?
Well, yeah, I will say the 12 would be my preference, but you're right, it is harder to get, and the 134 run it will work. The problem with the older cars though is they're set up a lot different. You know, I'm not sure if this was all factory, and you guys Bob and Mark might know this, but was that a pressure ops absolute operating system where they had
POA valves? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So those you can't get to work. They have to be specially adapted to R134A because they're set up for, you know, the different temperature and pressure of the R12. So without some components being replaced, I don't know, that would be kind of difficult. And I know there is some places that make those that you can adapt it over.
Was the condenser changed on this car?
Yes, it was a new condenser.
Okay.
Now the dryer, I've got a new dryer, but I haven't put it on. It's still in the box, and it's been 2 or 3 years old. Is that probably junk now because it's sucked up the humidity from ambient air or whatever?
Well, does it have the rubber plug still in the orifices of the dryer?
Yes, I haven't.
Yeah,
no,
it should be okay.
All three of us are shaking our head. We wouldn't mind putting that in.
And this still has the expansion valve on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Expansion valve. And the inner fender on the right side where you can get to all that stuff is removed, so I never put it back on there.
Has it got the bulb that comes from the expansion valve that's wrapped in tar, which is part of the expansion valve?
Yeah, the system is all together. I haven't taken any of that off or apart.
Okay.
Or nothing,
so. Can he change this to an orifice system? Why can't he change this to an orifice system?
Yeah, they make
he can. For that. There's an eliminator kit that you have to put in to get rid of that pressure absolute operating
POA
system.
Valve.
POA valve and everything that goes through there.
Well, let me ask you the question. Is this a car that's like a Supreme El Camino, then it's all factory and it was the same way Grandpa had it, or has this been modified and it's got a fuel-injected motor in it?
It's carbureted.
Okay.
Yeah,
do you want to keep it factory? Do you want to keep it original, or would you like to upgrade and update the air conditioning system?
Well, I would like to just keep it as it is. I know you can buy a vintage air unit or something like that. But
yeah. Well, I had a 69 El Camino for many, many years, and I kept mine basically factory, but I did convert it to R134. But you can do that. They make a kit that will unbolt the expansion valve and take off the POA valve, and you can set it on the shelf somewhere, and then change it over to an orifice tube, and it works very efficiently. It makes a very nice air conditioning system.
There's no question that's what I would do.
2 minutes.
No matter what, that's what I'd do.
Just hang on to the old parts if you want to. If someday you want to go back to the original, but I wouldn't.
Yeah. I agree with Jeremy. The POA goes and the expansion valve goes, and then you use the orifice tube. You convert it to an orifice tube, and you're done.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. What would if I went someplace who could diagnose what I needed, and what would the diagnostic charge be?
It's not really a diagnostic charge. It's the cost to do the kit. So you bring it to us with the POA valve on it, and you bring it to us however it happens to be, and then the kit is then used to update the thing.
Well, if I understand it, right now he has everything working. It just doesn't cool.
Right. Everything's functional. It just has no Freon or refrigerant in it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's kind of hard to bid. I'm thinking... Bob, you've done the exchange. From a unit that's
From what he's already got. Let's our program would be to start out by putting R134 in it.
Okay.
But do you know what kind of oil when you say you changed out the compressor? Did you change it recently?
No, it's been.
This is all original.
Three or four years ago, it is an original style, the long
A6. But we'll need to know what kind of oil's in it, because you're going to have to change out the oil to go to the 134.
Yeah, I believe it's. I wanted to say it's the PAG oil, because I think I wanted to go with 134.
Oh, okay.
And I put that oil in it.
Yeah. So if you got the PAG, 35? I think it's, PAG 35 is the system for that. Then I would start with just putting some Freon in it, and let's see what you got.
I think that's right. Yeah. If you've already got it that far, then let's just put Freon in it. Let's see what we can make out of that. Step two, though, is convert it to the orifice tube and get rid of the POA. So that's the plan. There's no way that anybody can bid it, because you'd have to kind of see it. If you wanted to drop by Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue in Indian School, then you can and talk to either Bob or Jeremy or Ellen. You're going to have to get past Ellen anyway, because she's at the front counter. And so be really nice to her, because she's kind of mean.
I am not.
And she uses bad words.
I am not.
And stuff like that. But she'll and don't do it on Monday. And I'm going to stick up for you now. Don't do it on Monday morning and Friday afternoons.
Oh, right.
Because those are for obvious reasons. But, yeah, you can look at it.
Yeah, whoever does it just really needs to start with putting Freon in, see if we got a compressor that's working and expansion valve that's working, and then they could bid it from that point.
That part of it, what cost?
I'm going to say plan on somewhere in the $200 range.
But you're bidding blind.
Yeah.
In your defense,
this is just to fill it.
I know, but you're still bidding blind. You don't even know if the threads on the fittings are good. Just saying, it's better for you, Sam, to take the car there, and then it's easier to tell you what it's going to cost to take the next step, I think, is the answer. Anyway, we got to go, Sam, but good luck to you, and I'm envious of your 65 El Camino. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have five lines open. Gil snoring in the background, and we'll be back in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, Bob and Ellen from Larry Harker's Auto's here. Jeremy's here. He's one of the techs and the big dog in the shop. And somehow he's related to Bob and Ellen, and I'm not quite sure how. But he is a good guy, and he does know his stuff. And I'm real proud of him, because he represents the younger generation of a step below Bob and I. And he probably has a better handle on some of the electronics and the vacuum controls and stuff like that than we have, because we were brought up on 302 and 289s and 327s and 283s that really did everything by gosh and by golly. Auto Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted facility, and it's family owned and operated, and I've known Chuck Nide since 1968. His son Derek is at the Auto Dynamics. They're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. They're a good shop. You'll be treated fairly, and I promise that, just as I do all the shops that I have. It's the only shop in Sun City that I can really send you to, because I know the family, and I know that they're going to take care of you and not take a lot of money out of your wallet. Okay, did we do Bill already? I think that was the...
Not yet. He called back.
Oh, yeah, Bill called back. Bill, how can I help you?
Yeah, I'm still on my flip phone.
Okay.
So, I have another question. I did check that I have 17-inch tires
I don't think the truck was lifted. It's just slightly higher than my O2 was, but not much. And I had a question. If I was thinking about getting some bigger tires, because these do kind of look small. People have asked me, why you got such small tires. Does it have any effect when you get bigger tires on anything, like power? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be an effect, but, I mean, it just depends. The question is how big. So a 10%.
Are we talking power or what?
Well, no. You have to tell us how big first, and then we can answer your question.
Yeah, it will make a change, but how much?
Yeah, if you're
change?
Just going from 17 to 18, you're not.
Yeah, that's
about
no
that
big deal.
Difference.
But if you go from a diameter of 22 inches to a diameter of 41 inches, you're going to have a little problem. I mean, it's.
Well, I have no interest in huge tires. I just want something maybe a little bigger. Does it give you any better mileage or anything like that? Or?
Well, if you don't calibrate for the newer tires, you're going to get better fuel economy. Well, it's not going to be a real number.
I'm already 10 miles over what I'm supposed to be on now. So would that catch me up maybe? Or?
Well, Bill, but we got to go back to the beginning of this story. We've got your scientific test between your wife's car and your truck. Is just not right. Going to, I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to figure that out because, like I said before, we need to figure out your truck. Forget your wife's car, figure out your truck, and then whatever we use to figure out your truck, we can do with your wife's car. But you can't answer the questions because we need to look at the truck and then we need to see what will fit without rubbing. And we also need to see if we have enough parameter space in the ABS module to change the value of the tire. So if you get a tire and I'm giving it a 30 number, if you get a tire with a 30 number and the parameter says, no, I won't let you go past 26, then we're not going to be able to adjust your speedometer. So right. Take it over to Jeremy, you can look at it and you can determine how much higher, how much wider, how much deeper he can go. But keep in mind too that if you start changing sizes, you're changing wheels, and it's not uncommon for a set of tires and wheels to cost $1,000.
Oh yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I pull a lot of trailers, so I'm there as well. So,
okay. I think I'd stick, if you're going to be pulling a lot of trailers, or the trailers have one axle, two axles, or three axles?
I got twos and threes, so.
Okay. I'd probably stick pretty close to stock and the stock programming of the computer and the stock programming of the fuel delivery and timing. I think with and you had a Duramax, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think the Duramax will be fine if you just leave it alone and leave it the way it is. Yes, we can make it a rompin', stompin', desert running kind of powerhouse, but you could spend $5,000 doing that, and at the end of the day you're probably going to have to put up with your wife saying it wasn't worth it.
Well, I have no interest in that. I just
well, if you get the bigger tires,
I mainly want to get the speedometer where it's right.
If you get bigger tires, it should
shop.
We can't do anything to guide you, Bill, until we find out about the speedometer issue.
I'll just take it down to 38th Avenue.
Yeah.
We'll go from there.
Yep, let's do that first. Okay, thank you, Bill. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Speaking of diesel, Strictly Diesels is up the road. He's at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak, and Nate is a guy that the Chevy, the Dodge, and the Ford are in his wheelhouses. He knows those vehicles. He's really pretty good as long as you're going to tell him the truth. He said the other day that somebody had called him and asked him some questions, because I say that he can usually get close with a guess. And he said, Mark, three of the questions he answered wrong. So I said, how's your fuel economy? He says, oh, great. Well, it wasn't great. So he says, I kind of went in a different direction. But he said, it really depends on just what I'm looking for. But Nate's really good. So if you have a Chevy, a Ford, or a Dodge, and you've got a problem, and you're one of the people that said nobody can fix it, then Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a place that I'd probably take it to and see what he's got. Are you doing lots of diesels, Jeremy?
We do
some, but we're
I wouldn't say a lot. Yeah.
Okay. You're doing maintenance and service on them, but you're not doing revamps and redos.
Yeah. Like right now, he's doing injectors on one.
Okay.
But yeah. We get into it, but we don't get into excessive amount.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not replacing major like engine assemblies and stuff like that in diesels, but we do a fair amount of maintenance and
a lot of diagnostic on
diagnostic issues.
Yeah, and the EcoDiesel, although it's a good vehicle,
We're doing a lot of work to those, and we're doing lots of carbon work, and we're doing lots of EGR cooler work, and we're and the Ford 6 liters are still a gold mine for car repair shops. The 6.7 Ford, the 6.7 Dodge, and that 6.6 V8 GM, they're all pretty good vehicles.
Yeah. How about that Ford Eco, that water pump? What was that one?
Oh.
Where the water pump's inside the engine.
Yeah.
So the water pump starts leaking, dumps the water into the oil.
Oh, the timing chain. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You go to the guy and say, well, you got a water pump leaking, and it's going to cost you $3,000 to change it.
And it's inside the motor, and there's a whole big way in there and a whole big way out. And here's the good news, though. You're going to have new fan belts, and you're going to have new oil, new coolant, and a new water pump.
I'd like to catch the engineer that did that one.
No, you're not. It was probably a woman, and she can whip both of us, so just knock it off. Okay? Here you go, threatening the women again. Doggone it, Bob. You just get us in trouble. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, we'll do our best to answer it. But it's kind of a give and take. I have this year, make, and model of car, and here's the problem I've got. And then we're going to say, has anyone looked at it? And you say, yeah. What did they say? What did they bid? And did they say that they recognized that you had symptoms and they're going to fix those symptoms? Because the fear is you spend hundreds, if not $1,000, to fix a symptom, and the symptom doesn't get fixed, but he swears that he fixed what you pointed to it, what you pointed you wanted fixed. That's the problem. So the communication is, the responsibility is 50% the shop and 50% the driver of the car. And I say driver as opposed to owner, because oftentimes we're dealing with, you know, a sibling or a wife or a husband of a particular vehicle. So those are the kinds of things that we can help you with. And if you have an argument between you and your husband about which oil to put in it or how on to change the oil, or maybe whether you should use your air conditioning in normal or recirculatory, we can answer that. Jeremy and I and Bob are really, really good at handling those kinds of dispute between married women and men. And we always side with the guy anyway. Anyway, we're talking about cars and trucks, and we've got people on the lines, and so we're going to take them, and we're going to start off with Olivia. Lady first. Olivia, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You
and
bet.
I've been listening to you while I was on the road, and I had to pull over so I could make the call.
Okay.
So, I know this is going to sound terrible, but a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, we had to take our van in. We have a Town and Country Chrysler van that has 213,358 miles.
Okay.
So, and I didn't know, but when I took it into emissions, because we had to get our tag, the engine light was on, but it always came on once in a while, and then it'd disappear, and then it'd come on, and then it'd disappear. But we weren't having any, like, issues with, you know, the engine or anything. So I went to take it emission tested, and the guy said, oh, we can't even do the emissions if the light is on. So now I have to figure out what to do, you know, to get the light, whatever, to check out the, diagnose the light. Anyway, long story short, I went to AutoZone right after I left the emission, because I know they have that little free diagnostic thing, and the guy said it's either an oxygen something or the catalytic converter, and I asked him if he could recommend a mechanic, and he says there's a mobile mechanic that they recommend. And I called this kid, and he's very, very knowledgeable. And he came to our place of business, and he said, he says, I don't know who did your last, you know, your tune-up, you know, who put your spark plugs in, but whoever did, they cracked your intake manifold.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, that's weird, because not even a month ago, we took it to the dealership, and it gave it a, that's what they did. They gave it a full tune-up and spark plugs and everything. And he said, well, if I were you, I'd take it back to them, because they tightened the spark plug so tight that he thinks that they cracked this intake manifold. And I have no, this is all Chinese to me.
Okay.
So.
You're in trouble.
So we took it back to the dealership. And they won't, you know, they won't take responsibility. They said it was probably there already. And the guy told me to tell them, well, if it was there already, don't you think you would have told us that the crash was there? And you would have had the opportunity to fix it?
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So, well, there's nothing that can. There's way too many people involved in this, and you're not going to get any. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you different, but you are not going to get anywhere by saying that the mobile mechanic said you did this, or the guy at the little fuzzy chested, wet behind the ears kid at the auto parts store is telling you this. Neither one of those guys knows half of what they should. They're really good at pointing fingers at everybody else, and real big boys and real men in our industry, we don't do that kind of stuff. The first thing you got to do is get it fixed. Once you get it fixed and you get it through emissions, then you can hash out all the rest of the stuff. But you're not going to get the dealership or an independent repair shop or a chain store to dance to the music of somebody they've never met before who's pointing their fingers at them. So, and then the question is if you had the code and if you had some emission readings, we'd be able to tell you whether a cracked intake manifold would even cause the problem the code is, because it's entirely possible that because the manifold's cracked, that's okay, but that has nothing to do with the fact that the fuel pressure regulator is bleeding raw fuel into the engine and it's running rich. So the cracks aren't going to fix your, it's possible the cracks aren't going to fix your code. And they're not going to fix your emissions failure. It's possible. So you just have to get somebody to fix it. Then you can sort out all the rest of this stuff. How long ago did the dealer touch your car?
About a month to maybe 5 weeks ago.
Did the light come on afterwards?
Yes.
Why didn't you take it back then?
I didn't even think about it because the light randomly comes on off and on for months.
Has it done that before the dealer worked on it and after the dealer working on it?
It's the first time we had a dealer work on it. We normally take it to a mechanic.
No, but my question was, said that the light would come on intermittently, sometimes come on and go off. You said you had it at the dealer a month ago, but then you just said the light's been coming on and off for 2 or 3 months, which overlaps the dealer.
Correct.
I'm not sticking up for him. Don't misunderstand. I'm saying to you, you're in a box that you're not going to crawl out of. Mm-hmm. So it's an unfortunate situation, and it's nothing that I can control. And I would think that what would be the worst thing you could do is take it to a shop and say, hop on your white horse and go slay my dragons, because most of us old gray-haired guys don't want nothing to do with that. So the real issue is you need to get it fixed. That's it. And what they're telling you with the emissions is you can't just keep clearing the code, because there's a memory in there and there's a process, and we know that you just cleared the code 2.5 hours ago before you drove into the station. So we have to have this new reset, and just plain language, you have to have the check engine light off for a week or more before you go back to emissions, because they can tell that that check engine light was on day before yesterday.
What year was her vehicle again?
It was a Town and Country van.
2012.
Okay.
Okay.
So my advice to you is you can. I don't want you to change your the idea that. I just want to tell you, you're going to chase your tail. Just get it fixed. Just get it fixed. Get it through emissions, and then you can decide what's going to happen there. You want to comment about the cracked manifold? Do you have any idea what that is all about?
I can tell you that the spark plugs don't screw into the intake manifold, so it's hard to say anything that can happen. I mean, before, but if you did have the check engine light coming on and off at one point before they did it, it's quite possible you had an issue, whether it's the intake manifold or not, that needed to be addressed.
But once, if we found out that we had a lean code and we had a lean history, then the manifold might likely be the cause of that, right?
Right, right.
But by the same token, if we have a rich condition, the manifold's not part of that.
Right. So you have, and you know, maybe you have an O2 sensor code as well that, you know, that's some of the things that have to be tested individually. You can't really, there's only so much you can guess at when it comes to a check engine light. You have a system that you're going to have to kind of adhere to some processes before you isolate it down.
Bob, you got a guy that's applying for a job. He's been a mobile mechanic, and he's just told somebody that they screwed up the spark plugs in the intake manifold of this plastic intake. Are you going to hire him?
Not really.
Okay, goodbye. Yeah, that's the way I feel, too. If those guys were good, they'd be making $50,000 a year at my facility. instead of driving around telling everybody how good they really are. The fact of the matter is just like anything else. I don't think you're going to get a brain surgeon down at the local swap meet, anybody that's worth a darn. So, Olivia, I just think you just need to set your head. If you want a good list of good shops, go